God. Hallelujah. Oh God, let's pray. Father, as we just bow our hearts in a word of prayer, God, we just ask your Holy Spirit to zoom into our hearts, zoom into our lives. If there's anything there that needs to be forgiven, we ask of it right now in the name of Jesus. If we've done others wrong and we need to go make it right, let us purpose in our hearts that we would go and make it right. If we've taken advantage of anything or taken advantage of others, and Lord, our motive was to do it secretly, Lord, convict us of that, and that we will then go and do and make right. Father, we're asking you, Holy Spirit, to do something special in our hearts and our lives this day, there in our service. Father, we need you. We want you. And today, as we partake of these communion, we're reminding ourselves once again, Jesus, you paid our debt for us. We could not pay. We owed a great debt. But Jesus, you took upon yourself all of our debts, all of humanity. And also, you were beaten for us. And by your stripes, we do have healing. In Jesus' name. Oh God, as we hold these elements and we're going to partake together, Lord, reminding us once again what God did for us. And for this, oh God, we're going to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're watching online at home, prepare your elements as we pass out our elements. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
How great a price that laid me down, how high the mountain, like a dark
Salvation, Jesus Christ.
All today. Hallelujah. I know I'm plugged in, but maybe we got a loose connection or something, but we hold before the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's represent Him. We're going to try it this way, okay? Hallelujah, Lord. Today we look upon Christ not in a disrespectful way, but we look on Him in a respectful way. At the end of the month, we're going to be celebrating His resurrection. And we're only 31, or not even, 28 days away from celebrating His resurrection. And there's just something about what He did for us, that means so much. That means so much. Hallelujah. Father, today we hold these elements in our hands, and we hold them dearly to our hearts, because we know just as much as these are real, Christ was real. And Lord, we partake of them today. Father, not in a disrespectful way, not in a callous way or in a systematic way, but we partake of it because it reminds us what He did for us and what He's still doing for us and what He's going to do for us in the future. And Lord, we just ask, oh God, as we partake of these this day, that we would ask and honor You in our hearts and in our lives. In the night in which You was betrayed, Jesus, You took bread and You gave thanks. And after blessing it, You says, take, eat. This is My body, which is given for You. Do this in remembrance of Me. Let us all partake together in the name of our Lord. Hallelujah, the bread of life. And after the same manner, He took the cup, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in My blood. And as oft as you drink it, you do this in remembrance of Me. Let us partake together in the name of our Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe we can sing that chorus again. pass your communion cups to the center aisle. And at the same time, let's honor the Lord with this song. Thank you. Thank you, Iris. You may be seated. Okay. Yes, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Here, let me give you these. I know, I'll give you my cough drop. Sorry about that. At this time, we're going to have the board come up, and we just have some business that we need to take care of. And they're going to make their way up here. As you know, Beverly and Al, why don't you come on up with Beverly, are leaving us, and they are going to Hunter Fields Christian Center, Retreat Center there in Prattsville. And they're going to be working there in the ministry there, and we're going to miss them, aren't we? We're going to miss them, and we're going to miss their blessing and all that they've done for us, more than what we could even ask or think. Hey, why don't you come up on the stage? Come on up. Come up. I want to do that. All right, Chrissy, why don't you grab the flowers? Steve, Martin, come on up. Or Martin and Doreen, come on up. So a couple things. We just want to present to you the plaque. Martin's going to present the plaque. Beverly has served on the board for the last 2 years. So we're going to present to you your name on the plaque for your service to the board. They want to get a picture of this. You get it? I hear you. And then also we want to present to you a card with flowers just expressing our appreciation. Let's show the Lord's our blessing to Beverly and Al. Show our appreciation. Yeah, why don't you sit down? We'll get you out. So we're going to let them just say a couple things. Yeah, whatever you want to say. How's that? You got it.
Oh, why? I just want to say how much we love everyone here and what a blessing you guys have been to us. God puts us where we're supposed to be at what time we're supposed to be, and we just needed healing. And this church is a great place to come for healing because the Lord's presence is here and the people here love and care for one another. So we just want to say thank you.
Well, I guess Bev finished this, what we were going to say last week. Or what? No, that was 2 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago. Oh, takes a while to recover. Now that she stole what I was going to say. Yeah, we do both. Love everybody here. You have helped us heal. And the pastor throwing that video at us about Haiti did not help. He didn't warn us about that. But we're going to miss you guys. And we're not that far away. If we get a chance, we'll probably be stopping in on Sunday services because they don't have retreats every week, I don't think. Do they, honey? At least. But no, I went totally blank. Sign of old age, I guess.
We'll see you around.
I had somebody at work ask me, well, how can, at your age, can you go do something like that? And I got to tell them, well, God gives you the strength to do whatever he wants us to do. Amen. Amen.
We'd really appreciate your prayers as we go. It's going to be a big transition, especially not being able to go to a church on Sunday mornings through the summer. So just pray for us as we transition.
Amen. Yeah. Ministry, with ministry sometimes comes sacrifice, and it also comes the opportunity to serve. And truly, I know you're going to sacrifice, but also you're going to serve, and you're going to bless others, and you're going to be in a position to help others through what they're going through or struggles that they're facing. Because there's something about a retreat center that opens up the door for ministry to take place, and we want to do that. I'm going to ask you to stand at this time. If Beverly and Al can just come over here, and we want to lay hands on them, and we want to pray for them. Just raise your hand up, and this is not the last Sunday. They'll be here next Sunday, and maybe another one after that. But let's just lay hands on them and ask God's blessing upon them as they go out and depart. Father, a part of us, O Lord, is being taken out. It's not a bad part, like cancer needs to be taken out of a body. But Lord, this is a good part. And Lord, we just pray that the blessing that they have been to us as they go to Hunterfield, a Christian Retreat Center, that they'll be a blessing there. That you would be with them, you'll watch over them, that you'll continue to bless them and encourage them at times as they encourage others. As they give out and pour out their lives for those that come there, we just pray that you would replace and replenish that which, oh God, has been given out. Let them not run dry, but let them always be overflowing, oh God. Allow your spirit to flow through them and give them the strength that they need to do the work that you've called them to do. And we as a church, oh God, we stand behind them figuratively. We stand behind them today. And we ask, oh God, you to go with them and watch over them and guide them and lead them. And Lord, as you do that, we're going to hear those testimonies in the days ahead. Father, we're saddened. We're going to miss them. But we know, oh God, they're doing a good work for you where they're going. We bless them. Go with them now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you guys again. Thank you. We appreciate you. All right. Let's see what we got here. All right, we'll get it. So what we're going to do at this time is we said to you that we were going to take up an offering for them like we do for our missionaries that leave us and go on the mission field. Some of you might already have put it in the first offering, but I'm going to ask the ushers if they would come forward, and we're going to take up an offering to bless them and to encourage them in the ministry that God has called them to. And truly, that's our privilege, our honor to do. Clark, want to ask the Lord's blessing on the offering? Can I do it there?
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thanks. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Watch your foot. Watch your foot.
Yeah, we're having a good time here. The antenna pulled out of my cordless, so it's no good now. It might be good for a good, what do you call it, a slingshot or a skeet shoot. I don't know which one. But, hey, we'll work through it. Hallelujah. Again, Al and Bev, we appreciate you, and we appreciate all that you have done for the Lord in this church. And I know you'll be a blessing where you're going, and truly you'll be in our prayers. And we definitely miss you in that way. And I say to all of you, thank you for your giving. It's great to bless our people as they go out and as they do something for the Lord. That's always an honor to do, and I appreciate the sacrifice that you're giving to bless them in that way. Because I'm sure what they're going to make there is nothing compared to what they made in the world, for sure, in that way. So, we can bless them in that way. So we're going to be looking at the scripture today. I think I covered everything that I need to cover. Next week is a special service. I just ask you just to be a little bit more obliging because we don't know how many people are going to come or how many people are going to be here next Sunday for the recipients that are going to be receiving the funds from the polar bear jump. After church, there is a taco dinner going on, and you're welcome to stay for that. We're also going to bless them and offer them something to eat at that same time. So tomorrow, or I should say next week, you may come into church, and the church may look a little different. May not be a front row. We're going to probably, the recipients are going to be in wheelchairs, so they need a little room. So probably that front row is going to be gone. Maybe this side will be gone as well. We don't know yet, but we'll work on that. But I just ask you just to help us out, okay? If a family comes in and they need to sit and you need to move, just move. Let's make them feel comfortable. And for a lot of them, this is the first time that they ever been in a church. And so your life is going to be a testimony to them. So I just want to encourage you. Let's bless them. We're going to pray for them. We're just going to believe that God's hand is going to rest upon them. The families, and I don't say this in a sympathetic way, but the families there, I'm sure they carry a lot of burdens. They carry a lot of burdens. As a caregiver, there's a lot of burdens that are carried, and especially for your son or your daughter who is disabled. So they'll be in our prayer. We're going to be looking today at Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 30. I want to talk to you about a topic about helping me overcome my unbelief. Helping me to overcome my unbelief. Have you ever felt that sometime in your life where you just didn't want to believe or you just didn't know if God could really do it? Well, hopefully today I can touch on this subject and give you some insight. We're going to stand in honor reading the word of the Lord, Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 30. Mark 9, 14 through 30. And the scripture reads, "And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, running to him, greeting him. And he asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with them?' Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth and he gashes at his teeth and he becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not.' He answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.' Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood. And often he has been thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsing him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Then they departed from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know it. Father, we just bow our hearts and our heads in a word of prayer now. We're asking your Holy Spirit to allow this truth to be in our heart. If we just believe, God, with you all things are possible. We ask you to give us faith to hold on to the truths that are found in your word. And allow us, oh God, to stand upon those truths when the time of testing may come. Have your way here this day, we pray now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I was preparing for this sermon this morning, or not this morning, this week, I had in my office this button. How many know what this button is? It's been publicized. It's been on TV commercials over the years, okay? And I haven't seen it lately, to be honest. But it's there. And, of course, it's that is easy button, right? You hit it.
That was easy.
That's the whole thing behind that. And basically, that was easy button, it gives us five steps of what we need to do. Okay, five steps. It says identify the difficult situation, press your easy button, listen to the reassuring message, smile and get on with your day, repeat as many times necessary. And then there's other things on here that I thought was kind of interesting. The other things is that it would meet your needs every time, everything, whatever you need is there at the pushing of the button. Whatever details you need in your workplace, in your job, all you have to do is push that button and you will retain everything you need. We know that's not true, do we? We know that's not true. Farthest from the truth. Our faith in God is the same way, in a sense. Just as that is easy button, our faith in God is kind of the same way. That God meets us where we're at when we push the button of prayer. That everything that whatever we need in life, everything that we're up against, everything that we are facing in life, if we call upon his name, he's there. It's easy. It's easy. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about your faith. I want to talk to you about, let me see if I can do this rightly here. I'm having a hard time not having my cordless mic, so don't mind me. I'm going to get some air movement for me because I'm warm. So if I'm warm, that means you're probably warm, right? It's probably warm in here. Probably warmer than what we think. Yeah, it's going to push the hot air down, but it will circulate the air. In that way. Why do we as Christians struggle so much with things that happen within our lives? I mean, these are questions that we ask ourselves. Why do we struggle so much with the questions and things that happen in our lives? Is that going too fast for you? Are we good? I feel very good. I feel a nice breeze. So I'm going to be comfortable. Hopefully that doesn't distract you too much. But the scripture tells us in Jeremiah 33:33, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So church, in life, things are not easy. We know that. We just can't push a button and say, that was easy. We can't. But our Christian faith allows us to do something that we could not do. It allows us to connect with God in a way and in such a tangible way that whatever we're facing, whatever we're up against, He is there to help us. And so we need to identify our situations. We need to push the button of prayer and say, God, I have this situation in my life. I need you to come and do something mighty on my behalf. Nothing wrong with that. Listen to God's reassuring message in His scripture that He hears, that He cares, that He is there for you. He's not going to leave you or He's not going to forsake you. He's going to be right by your side. Matter of fact, He says that. He gives us as a command in His word. We just got to take it and we got to believe and hold on to it. And at times, if you need to do it again, do it again. Because so many times in life, we forget the very simple things that God would want us to do. And one of the simplest things that God wants us to do is to call upon His name. So let me just talk to you out of this scripture verse for the moments I have with you this morning. The first thing I want to talk to you about is this, the nature of faith. What is faith? What is faith? The nature of faith. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that what? Believeth. What's the nature of faith? This morning we all have faith, but what's the nature of faith? And that's what I want to talk to you about today. We all are sinners. We are in need of forgiveness. We all need to have a relationship with God, and that relationship with God is going to bring a faith in us that could not come any other way. I have faith in the light switch. I have faith in the key that I put in the car to start the car. But that's not the nature of the spiritual faith that I have. The nature of the spiritual faith says this, God, I'm taking you at your word. God, I'm trusting you in what you have said. God, I'm believing in you. Though I may not see you, I know you're there. And that's what the nature of faith says. The nature of faith believes in things it cannot see, but the evidence of things that always are unseen. And that's the nature of faith for us today. Now, God provides a provision of faith, and this provision that God provides is very important because with the nature of faith has to come provision, has to come provision. When I put on a light switch and I put it up and turn it on, the provision is that I know there's power there to turn on the lights. I know the power is there. There's provision. And God Himself tells you, you put your faith in me, I will provide for you. I will not leave you there by yourself. I will not forsake you. I will not have you do this on your own. The provisions that I'm going to provide for you is something that He can do far beyond what we could even ask or think. We as believers above or below here and Him above, He's the one that holds all authority. He holds that in His hand, but yet He gives us that authority. And that authority comes through those provisions. God has rich provisions for us today. His favor on our lives, His blessings in our lives, Him working for us or protecting us or guiding us or working in our lives. Those are God's provisions. We may go to work and we may get a paycheck, but we need to know this. God is the one who provided that paycheck. I know some of you say, no, I worked to get that paycheck. No, you can lose your job tomorrow. In all reality, you have what you have because that's God's provision on your life. That's what's telling God. He's ownership of you, that He has His way and He can have His way in you. You have to believe. That's where we come back to. I have to believe in the character of God. I have to believe in the word of God. I have to believe in the assurance of God. I have to believe in the promises of God. I got to believe in the covenant of God. All through age, His people have experienced Him in such a way. I have to know that, and I do believe that those in the past and how God provided for them, He's going to do the same today for me. That's that experience that we have. So the nature of faith points us to God. The provisions of faith allows us to believe that God will meet our needs. But the exercise of faith is probably one of the hardest things that we all experience in life. How do I exercise my faith? Do I go to a gym? Do I go someplace and train? How do I exercise my faith? That's where we rubber meets the road. We have to give attention to the fact of how we exercise our faith. We have to have knowledge and reason why we believe what we believe. There are times that we got to give answers when we don't have the answers. There are times that we got to believe in something where we don't see. Sometimes our affections get in the way of the reality of who God is. Have you ever dealt with that in your life? Your affections get in the way in the reality of who God is? And you can't exercise your faith? I mean, this man, he couldn't exercise his faith in a way where he had to cry out to God, I believe, but help my unbelief. Sometimes things get in our way. But yet we need to exercise it no matter what. And our will has to come into alignment with that. What hinders our faith a lot of time? That's a question I ask myself. What hinders my faith? Why can't I believe? Why can't I trust God? Why am I fretting? Why am I worrying? Why am I trying to work things out when God says, I'll work all things together for your good? You stay out of it. One thing I realized over time, the more I get into it, the more God gets out of it. So what I got to do is I got to get out of it so God can get into it more. And so that's how you exercise your faith. Then the next part comes the mighty power of faith. There's power that comes when you believe. That mighty power is seen throughout the scripture in such ways that sometimes we can't even imagine or think. Sometimes that mighty power of God reveals itself in such a way we're like, how did that happen? How did that take place? This is no coincidence. Nothing happens in God's eyes by coincidence. Everything happens for a purpose and a plan. God is not a God who just wakes up the next day and says, okay, this is what I'm going to do. He already knew from the time of eternity what was going to take place. He knew everything about you and everything that you were going to do. He knew everything what was going to happen in your life. He even knew the decisions you're going to make. That's talking about the sovereignty of God. But yet God still made us free will where he says, I'm going to let them make the choice. Though I already know their choice, but I'm going to give them the power to make that choice. But in making that choice, God's mighty power is shown. Look about Abraham and the life of Abraham and what happened in his life, how God showed his mighty power. Over and over again in Abraham's life, God did something miraculous and God did something great in his life. The three Hebrew boys, God did something mighty in their lives when they were standing up for what was right. And even to the point where they, Nebuchadnezzar said, bow down. If you don't bow, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And what ended up happening? They took God at his word more than they took Nebuchadnezzar at his word. Church, that's the exercise of faith I'm talking about. That's that mighty power. Will you take God at God's word? God's word says he will never leave you or he'll never forsake you. God's word tells us that greater is he who's in us than he that is in the world. That's the mighty power of God. And we have to believe it. The Bible says, God's word says, where two or three are gathered in his name, as touching anything on the earth, it shall be done as it is in heaven. That's God's mighty power. Believing his purpose and his plan. Daniel himself saw God's mighty power when he was thrown into the lion's den. There's other people throughout the New Testament who saw God's mighty power with their withered hand or the thief on the cross, the dying thief on the cross. He saw God's power at hand. So when we look at the real goodness of God that is attained by the exercise of faith, we see that we need not to have distrust. We need not to have any type of indifference, that we need to have that childlike trust. I don't know if I'm talking about a topic that's over your head or a topic that's in your heart. Once in a while, an amen or an old me will help me know that where I'm going. But trying to talk to you about your life and the things that you have. Let's look at how faith works. He said in verse 24, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." Have you ever been found in that situation in your life lately? Have you found yourself in that situation? I'm sure Beverly and Al, when they were in that situation, when they went there and checked out the Huntersville Center, I'm sure they were in that situation. God, is this what you want for us or not? Lord, we believe we're doing what you want us to do, but help our unbelief, because we don't know if this is what you want. All of us are in that situation. From somebody buying a car or somebody buying a house or somebody getting a new job or dealing with a new thing, we want to believe, but there's unbelief that just seems to hang on there. How does faith work? The text shows us a man that is earnest in his faith. There's something about being earnest in what you want. Earnest in what you want. This man's faith exhibits such earnestness that got a hold of Christ's attention. There's something about not just being sincere, but being earnest. He cried out with tears. They were tears that told where his heart was being moved to. You know, I look at this man and I find that there is more than a general earnestness about him. I see in his faith a struggle that he's having. I see in his faith a struggle that he's having. And that faith and unbelief are often found in the same heart. Same as you that are sitting here today, that faith and unbelief is found in the same heart. Your earnestness, the faith and the unbelief, is found in the same heart. These two worlds of faith and unbelief are close to the man's soul. It's close to his heart. Whenever faith and unbelief meet in the earnestness of heart, there will always be a war. There will always be something going on. I know when I have unbelief and I have faith, there's a war going on in my heart. And a lot of times I got to quiet myself. I got to still myself. I got to get in a place, in a situation where I will quiet myself so I can hear what God wants. I think the question arises by faith and by unbelief when it starts to press on the whole nature of man. And then because of that, what ends up happening, life gets confusion. Gets confused. We can tell how a war will always end by the way a person feels in their heart. You always know how the war is going to end, how a person feels in their heart. If they feel defeated, discouraged, you know what the end of the war is going to be. It's going to be defeat. But if they have faith and just believe that God's going to work things out, then the end of that war is going to be a miracle. Way beyond our even imagining or thinking. But the victory that comes in Christ is when he helps us defeat the enemy. The full deliverance from doubt and sin is the only procedure in a personal contact in your life when Jesus comes into your heart. Then we find that the man does believe. We find that the man does believe. But I want to give to you the step of his belief, if I could. It says, "Lord, I believe." That was his cry. Church, what should be our cry today? Should our cry be, "I must believe"? Or is it the next step, "I can believe"? Or is it the third, "I will believe"? Or is it the last step, "I do believe"? Which one is it? Because that's the progression that you're going to have in your faith. You know you should believe. You must believe. I got to believe. That's what God's word says. I can believe. I will believe. I do believe. That's where God wants to get you today in your life. Believing isn't easy, is it? Believing isn't easy. If believing was easy, there would be a lot of people in this world very successful. Believing isn't easy. Believing that it's easy. What ends up happening is we wish that it was easy as that. And we know it's not. We know it's not. Believing it's easy is a good thing. But trying to just say, I believe, isn't easy. Because that's the battle that we have in our hearts. There are many, many, many religious crops of believer of religions that are out in our society today. There's many. The current thinkers of religion today will flood our minds if we allow them to. The impressions that they try to leave on you. Somewhere in the past, they try to make you believe that that was the golden age of faith, but now we're in this golden age of faith. And people find it's easier to believe now than they did in something in the past. But I find out, truly, in my own personal life, that what is new is not right. But what is old is right. That's just me. I'm sharing my heart with you. Because there's so many things that are in society today that would try to rob you from that faith, of that belief. I don't know why a soldier dies on a battlefield. I don't know why a hurricane destroys a nation. I don't know why the killing of life, a son kills a father, a mother kills her kids. I don't have answers for that. I'll be honest, I don't. I really don't. But I know this much. I believe in a God. And I believe he's in control. And my life is under his control. Many would like to believe, but feel that they cannot believe. Because of everything that's happening in the world today. Everything that's going on points in a different direction. How can God allow this to happen? How can God allow that to happen? That's an old question, and that question has never been answered throughout all humanity. But something new and unique comes our way, and people are so willing to believe in that, and what ends up happening, it leads them astray. Psalm 42, verse 3 says, "Where now is my God?" Where now is my God? He's always been there. We just haven't been there. The earliest Christians must have asked that same question. I'm talking about the Christians right after Jesus rose from the dead. How they were thrown into lions' dens. How they died in Roman amphitheaters. How they were set ablaze by Nero to light the gardens of his compound at night so frost would not set in. Our former fathers of our religion, of our faith, the suffering that they've been through. And we are blinded to that. We only look at the tragedy that happens in our history and our historical time, and we always end up saying, how could God allow something like that to happen? Church, we are blinded to the past. Do you think they didn't suffer back then like we are suffering now? They might even suffer more. We're blinded to the fact. Do you think starvation or all these wars and all these other things weren't around for the last 2,000 years? Because if you don't think they were, you're blinded. You're blinded. It was around. And many have died for the cause of Christ. See, there's another side to believing I want to get to now. These days, it seems like people seem willing to believe almost anything. Almost anything. People today are believing in things that don't even make sense. I mean, the new legal theory, relative theory of reincarnation, that in their past life they were victimized, and now in this life they're remembering how they were victimized in the past life. And they bring charges against them who in their past life victimized them. Those are the relativeness of these theories that we're dealing with in our society today. Marilyn Monroe said these words, "I believe in everything a little bit." Many people today remind me of the White Queen in the Alice in Wonderland. She uttered some deadless words, "I believe in everything," she says. Alice comes back and says, Alice in Wonderland said these words, Queen, you're telling some tall stories of lies. And she replied, nonsense. All you have to do is just believe. Believing doesn't make it right. Believing doesn't make it true. Believing doesn't change things. But the truth changes things. Lutheran theologian George Forel says people who claim to be atheists are usually people who don't want to tell you who their God is. So what they end up doing, they just say, I'm an atheist. No, who's your God? Everyone has a God. God created the human race with an ability to know that there is a God. We all are created with that desire in us to know God. Problem is, all these small gods come on the scene, and what they end up doing is distracting from what God wanted. Paul Tillich defines faith as this. He says, our problem is not atheism, no God. Rather, our problem is idolatry, false gods. That's what we're dealing with today, false gods. I'm trying to move along here if I could. I want to go to the next one. You see, real believing isn't enough. There's a lot of people believe. I'm believing. It's going to happen. I stand in line behind people that purchase lotto tickets. I believe. I'm going to win. And when I win, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You can believe all you want. You can believe until your heart bleeds out. But your believing doesn't change what the outcome is. One in a what? Billion people win the lotto? And the other almost billion people pay for that billion to win, that one to win? One support, the whole majority supporting one who will eventually win, and maybe they will not win. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to bring to your place to replace your word believing to this. Faith is a better word. Jesus again exhorted the disciples to have faith. Faith is belief plus action. Christian faith means that I believe that I have come to God and to know his character in such a way that I'm willing to put my trust in God. I'm willing to put my trust in God. Are we willing to put our trust in God today? Are we really willing to put our trust in God? Is this just something we just say to say because we know it's the right thing to say or it's the right thing to do? I don't know. But true faith isn't easy, is it? True faith isn't easy. I've been around people that have been sick. I've been around people that have been afflicted. I've been around people that are either suffering or having a hard time. Believing doesn't cut it, but real faith does. Real faith may change things or it may not. But the outcome is it's who you believe in, not the results that come with it. True faith comes when we exhaust our doubts and we've gone to a place where our doubts are surrendered to Christ. That's when the struggle is over. The easy button. Yeah, I wish life was easy. I wish life was easy. I know some people are going through some hard times. I know you're probably saying the same thing. I wish it was easy. But you know as well as me, it's rough out there. It's tough. It's rough. It's tough. Though the ad may show many different people facing very difficult situations, but when they push the EV button, everything gets all right. Let's not fall into that trap as Christians to think that if we just pray to God and just believe and have faith that everything will work out. No. He's going to do the work in you. Watchman Nee said these words. If you have any long-standing problems, try kneeling. Prayer, and this is his definition of prayer, prayer is not you praying that the situation changes. Prayer is praying that you will change, that God will change you. Because when God changes you, he changes the situation. The worship team's going to come and they're going to be ready to lead us in worship. My board's going to come up at this time if they would, because we want to pray for you. We really do. I can't go too far with this, but I can go too far with that.
Hold it.
I got you. We're doing good. Hey, we're doing good up here, aren't we?